and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby. And today I'm deeply honored to have in my presence Pedro Belgrade, a man of the soil, a man with strength and power. Welcome to the program, Pedro.
Thank you, Yudalee. Thank you for having me on the program. It's good to be here.
Thank you very much for agreeing, because there are people who do not feel as brave and confident to even speak on radio. So I say thank you to you and all my past guests who so willingly, and some, you know, very few, I had to just put a smoother word. And I really thank you for agreeing so that we can share some of our experiences as persons living with a disability, as family members giving support to that individual with a disability, and as workers in the disability sector. We all are in this together, and I appreciate the sharing of information, the sharing of experiences, so that we can build a better society for all of us. So, Pedro, you were born in Barbados. Tell me what it has been like growing up in Barbados. Because I will share with my listeners that you are visually impaired, but you were not always visually impaired. So what was your life like growing up in Barbados? And then tell us about losing your vision.
Okay, first thing first, good morning to all listeners. I grew up between the parishes of St. Andrew and St. Peter. I'm a North man. I went to school at Spicetown Boys School, and then I went to the Allen School. Afterwards, after sitting 11 plus exam, after leaving school, I went on to the polytechnic and did air conditioning refrigeration. My life as a Belgian was very, very active. As a young man, we did most things that young boys did. I played football, I played cricket, also ran about the road. Went to the river. As a young man, my life was exciting growing up as a young man. Then as an adult, I went to air conditioning, and that was it. I was doing good at air conditioning. Worked at a couple companies. It was pretty good. Had started doing my own little thing afterwards. But growing up in Barbados was very good. It's very good. I enjoyed my life growing up in Barbados.
Well, I have to agree with you, but I also wanted to interject when you said, you know, doing things that boys do. I wanted to add on, and girls did some of those things as well, because growing up in Barbados as a young girl, I ran around a lot with my brothers. So we went into, you know, what we would call some forest, where there were just trees of different fruit trees and so on. As you said, you played games in the road, you rolled the roller and all of that.
Yes, growing up in Spicetown, especially in Spicetown, as a young boy from between till about 11, 12, because that's when I live in Spicetown. I leave Spicetown when I was 12. Uh-huh. Yeah, we played the normal Belgian games in the road.
And you pitch marbles too?
Hotscotch, pitch marbles.
Chinese jump, you know that one?
Chinese jump, yes. I did that with the girls in the district. I go at Farm Road, Burma Road, St. Peter's. Our little village had a couple of a good set of houses. We had a good set of young kids in my age group, around between the age of 13 and younger in our age group. And we played enough games in the road at night. And all during the day, we played road tennis. We played cricket, you know, all in the road, because we didn't have a pastor. Closest pastor to us at the time was Bristol Pastor, which was up by the rectory in St. Peter. But as a youngster, at that age, then I moved back to St. Andrew after I passed. I went to the exam. I had entered the Allen School. My mother thought it was right for me to go back to St. Andrew to live with my grandmother, which was much easier for me to get to school with my grandparents. So, and up there also, then we... It wasn't as much young ladies, but there were more fellas in the village then. And we played cricket in the road and football and what's not. We did the things that normal boys do, roller. As a youngster also, we made cane trucks. So thing called Kentra. We pull them and say we're taking them to the factory. With the old care peanuts on the back and whatnot.
Right. I had that. I did that as well, and I was even sharing with someone recently that, and she was a bit shocked to hear that as a little girl, you know, sometimes when the cane trucks or the lorries passed with the cane on the top of them going to the factories, you know, the boys would run behind the truck and pull out her cane. And I did that as well, and she was in shock to think, a little girl doing that? So would you have experienced the old educational system where your parents had to purchase your books and pay for your education, or would have come under the newer education system where you would have been under the tech?
I came under the newer educational system. I went to have to pay for at the time was the, as I said, the petty fees and the books at the secondary level.
Right.
But I came on the new educational system, and I'm very grateful for that, because my parents were not rich. You know, we were poor parents. We were poor family. Mm-hmm. So I was grateful for that educational system.
Okay, nice. Right, so you shared with us that you had an average life growing up in St. Andrew and St. Peter. You went to secondary school and then move on into your air conditioning refrigeration profession. So share a little more now about that profession and why you chose that, and then about your vision law.
Okay, well, it wasn't my first choice of work. It wasn't my first choice of work, but there's a guy, when I leave school, I was in St. Andrew. I was just basically on the block. And this guy, Mr. Ramsey, took me off and asked me if I want to learn a trade. And he took me along with him to do air conditioning refrigeration. Then eventually, Mr. Ramsey got me into the Polytechnic. I went part-time and finished my course at City and Guilds. And at the Polytechnic, after I worked for a couple companies, well, before I get into the Polytechnic, I was working with him privately, and then he got me into a company doing little ASC work with a white guy named Robert Cutter. But then they got me into the Polytechnic, so they said they saw potential in me in doing air conditioning work, so they decided to help me get into the Polytechnic, where I went to evening classes. This, I must say, was very, very hard in terms of having to travel from St. Andrew and Mars to go to work, then leave work and go to the Polytechnic. But I prevailed in that, and I worked along with some other companies, a number of companies I worked with in Barbados, Airtech, ServiceX, Knight Refrigeration. You know, last company I worked for was a company named Aircon. Then I leave from that. I leave that company. I went on to start my own little business, PBAC, where I repair ACs, fridges, washing machines, stoves, those sort of things I need to repair.
I want to say, Pedro, that you are speaking to values that identify the Barbadian, where persons that you know, like Mr. Ramsey, who would have looked at us and saw the potential within each one of us. That's number one. They would have looked at us as young women and young men, teenagers, now coming out of school and not working. And rather than allowing us to become idle, and as the proverbs say, idle hands get into, you know, mischief,
yeah.
They were able to mentor us by, you know, having us on as apprentices or linking us with other persons who could help guide us and keep us out of trouble. So we want to salute the Barbadians like Mr. Ramsey and so many others who would have been there for us as young children at primary and secondary school, and later in that teenage young adult phase when we're trying to find ourselves and become the man or woman that we view ourselves to be. So I want to say a big thank you to all of them, because had not for many of these Mr. Ramseys, then many of us would have fallen into the wrong path of life. And we appreciate the fact that you took the time to help steer us in a direction of pride and industry.
Yes. Okay. I lose my sight back in terms of a bit of my sight. I lose my sight back in the end of 2016. I had retinal detachments on both eyes, my left and right eye. Tried to get it fixed, but it didn't work out. So here I am now, blind all over, vision impaired. But the transition from that, at first it was rough, but as a person I am that decide not to sit down, let it keep me down, I said I have to get up and be mobile and be independent. When I say independent, I have to do things for myself instead of sitting down and letting it wear me down. Because at first it was wearing me down. So I had to, in my mind, get a strong willpower to get strong and start, you know, being out there, being independent for myself.
Right. So you said that when you first lost your sight, it was rough. Tell us about that rough patch.
Well, after being at age of 45, 46, during that period, coming from seeing the whole world around me, seeing all the barbers and what's not around me, to come to a place now where everything is dark or just shadows in front of me, was very, very hard. You know, I sat and I wonder what will happen now, what will be outcome from here, what will happen in terms of, you know, work-wise. I can't work anymore. Can't go as much of a life. I'm going to be staying home. How can get things done? That's coming from a person that was provided for himself to come now. Where will I go from here?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And you forgot to mention, Pedro, that you're an extremely active and avid footballer. So you would have also had to come.
Yes, I must say, and that being, there were some footballers, because I'm from St. Andrews, as I said, from St. Andrews. I'm also involved in the St. Andrews Lions football team, which we are in Premier League right now. It's the highest level of football in Barbados. I'm also the technical director for the youth arm of the club. I decided to go and take the youth under my wing. So I'm an active footballer. I love football. I love the game of football. So some of the footballers, a good side of the football, actually my footballers who helped bring me out, they came by my house and then said, well, come and go and watch football. And I was like, well, I can't see football anymore, so what can I do? But then when I decided to go with them and the atmosphere, everybody then, you know, saying, oh, okay, I realized then that I could still be a part of society. And then I joined two organizations, which is one in USB. I first joined that in 2017, and between 2017 and 2018, I joined Barnard. And those two organizations also assisted me in helping build my self-confidence and what's not.
Great. So again, the Barbadians who saw you and didn't want you to wallow in self-pity or just waste the remaining years of your life sprang to your assistance and gave you that encouragement and that support that helped you now to be, again, very active in your community. So tell us about your involvement with both the National United Society of the Blind and Barnard, as well as your football, because you said that you're the technical director for the youth arm of the St. Andrews Lions So tell us about all of that and what other things you're involved in.
Right now, the football, let's start with the football. As I said, I'm the technical director for the youth arm, where I go out there, I see youngsters, I go into the primary school, here the Costa Arrows Primary School. I take a coach along with me, and we look at the young potential footballers in the area in St. Andrew. Because, as I must say, our youth team is built out of all youngsters from St. Andrew. Nobody out of St. Andrew. Everybody outside. We go through St. Andrew and we look for the youngsters that we see potential in. And even some that don't have potential, we try to harness them, try to get them up to standard. And we went to the primary school, we went to Allen School,